It's been said that there are really only two kinds of people in the world. There are those who wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord." And then there are those who wake up in the morning and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Those who come into a room and say, "Here I am." And then there are those who say, "Ah, there you are." Everything has two sides, isn't it? A coin has heads or tails, inside, outside of the house, you name it. Almost everything and everyone has two sides. Last week we talked about weeds and wheat. The old person, the new person. Even the Apostle Peter, or it probably would be better to say, especially the Apostle Peter, had two sides. You heard the scripture, this passage that was read just minutes ago. Peter was a disciple who acted impulsively and then regretted his actions. In Peter, we see a strange combination of faith and doubt, strength and weakness, courage and cowardliness. Peter was a disciple who had a bold, gold heart, if you will, but a feet of clay. Peter at one moment is bold and confident, and the next moment he falls flat on his face, as you remember when he got out of the boat, right? One minute he takes up a sword to defend Jesus. The next minute he denies ever knowing Jesus. Now that is Simon Peter. That is Simon Peter. Simon means one who hears, one who obeys. He was still in training, Simon. He was a diamond in the rough. Simon Peter was becoming a disciple. Still being formed and molded and shaped into the disciple who Jesus wanted him to be. As a disciple becoming or disciple in training, Simon had insights. He had insights about Jesus. I mean, he was one of the innermost group, circle of people that rubbed shoulders with Jesus. And Simon knew that this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. You know, there were a couple of places that he said, "He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah." So this is Simon. This is Simon. Again, just like all of us, he did not completely understand the full knowledge of the faith. But again, that's all because he was a disciple in training, just like all of us. Isn't it true? We are all like Simon. I think that's where a lot of us are. We're still becoming disciples, and that's a good thing. It was a good thing for Simon, and Simon Peter would probably tell us that it is an ongoing thing. You don't just become a disciple and, you know, that's it, stop. No, it's being and becoming a disciple. It's an ongoing process, as you can see in the whole gospel. How Simon Peter becomes. Humility. Humility is a key attribute that molds Simon. Pride sure can get in the way. It did for Simon Peter, but Jesus was always there to help him out. I recently read about a man who took great pride in being a former Navy SEAL. Why not? He's one of the elite group of people. It takes a special sailor to qualify as a Navy SEAL. This man told his story one day to his grandson's class. It was a kindergarten class, and his little grandson had invited grandpa to come and share. You've done that. Gone, sat with the little children there and sharing, and he had shared his stories. Then it was time now, he was ready to take questions, and all the hands went up, and he picked a girl and asked what she would like to ask him, and she said, "So, can you balance a ball on the end of your nose?" Sometimes humility can be painful. Look at Simon Peter. One minute, Jesus is praising his insight and even tells Simon Peter that he's going to be in charge of the church. Verse 18, Jesus says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." I can't imagine how pumped up, proud Simon must have felt at that moment. Imagine your manager, CEO, superintendent, whoever, the big honcho, comes and tells you in the company, you are the key person. You're it. You are the future. You are such a key person in my company. How would you feel? Tell me. You'd be sad? You will be in cloud nine. Maybe even a halo, right? Walking around. And then look at this. Look at what happens. A couple of minutes later, Jesus is sharing what's going to happen to him. His mission. He's sharing with his close friends. Who else could he share? And Jesus is just opening his heart out and sharing about his suffering and death. Verse 22. "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you.' But Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.'" How would you feel if that CEO who had just praised you turned around and said, "Get behind me, Satan"? How would you feel? I'm sure Peter was stunned. Must have been hurt deeply. The fall must have greatly hurt him. Simon Peter is just like you and me, just a common person, just like you and I. He had good intentions, but the wrong moves sometimes. thinking not in godly ways, but in human terms. We do it too, don't we? Excuse me. So why in the world does Jesus choose Peter? I mean, why? Why would he choose a character like Peter amongst all the other disciples to be the rock, to be the foundation of the church? Wow. Why Peter? Let me answer that question for you. The answer is repentance. Repentance. Let me share why I think repentance is the answer, why Jesus chose Peter. Peter denied Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus. They're both the same thing, isn't it? I mean, one is not better or less than the other. Yes, in different ways. Peter denied, Judas betrayed. Jesus was grieved. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus told the disciples that he would soon be arrested and crucified, and they would all forsake him. Peter protested, "No, no, Lord, not me. Though everybody else forsakes you, you can count on me." Before this night is over, Jesus told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." "Oh, no, never. Lord, all these others may deny you, but not me. You can depend on me." That's Matthew 26, verses 30 through 35. The bold determination of Peter to be faithful was demonstrated a short time later in the Garden of Gethsemane. The soldiers came. Peter whipped out his sword. He began to slash. He cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. He was ready to die for his master that night. Then just a little later, in the courtyard, her servant girl came up to him and inquired, "Look, you're one of those Galileans, aren't you?" With oaths and curses, Peter denied that he never knew who Jesus was. That's Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. Peter denied with curses that he did not know who this Jesus was. Later, twice, he was asked, "Surely, are you not one of the disciples?" Three times, he denied Jesus. And just like Jesus had told him that he would deny him before the rooster crow. My friends, I would like you to look at a different passage. In verse 75, it says, Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Peter knew what he had done. Peter knew he had disappointed his Lord. He had denied his relationship with the Lord. He went and wept bitterly. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, if you've got your pew Bibles handy, look up that 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. It reads, "Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us." Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrows brings death. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. What Peter experienced was godly sorrow. And what Judas experienced after betraying Jesus was worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow brings death, and that's what happened to Judas. Judas felt guilty, remorse, just like everyone else, like us all. But what do you do with being guilty? What do you do? You do something wrong and you get caught and you are guilty for doing something wrong. But feeling sorry that you hurt God. Godly sorrow that Paul talks about here and repenting that you have sinned against God brings forgiveness and peace within your heart. And that's what happens to Peter. Totally two different things going on in their way of guilt and repentance. You know, those who get caught, those who go to jail, come back, they do the same thing over and over again. You know, it's a worldly sorrow. But you've got to connect that with God. I displeased God by doing whatever I did. I walked away from God's promises. I walked away from His commands, precepts. I displeased God. I feel saddened in my heart and asking the Lord, "Lord, please forgive me. I've done something to hurt you," is what Peter does. You know, as you continue to read the story, as you continue, you would see Peter running to the tomb to find out what had happened. And then if you read the Acts of the Apostles, I mean, there is Peter. Totally transformed, a new person, witnessing to his faith. So repentance is taking that next step from being guilty. Peter takes that next step and receives God's promise. Jesus told us even before, foresaw that, "On this rock I will build my church." Jesus knew this man, Peter, well, he's just like all of us. He's going to fall, but man, this guy is something else. And that promise comes true. The promise gets fulfilled in Peter's life. "On this rock, I will build my church." My friends, so it is with us. From being Simon to being Peter the Rock. From being Saul to being Paul. From being last week's example, weed to wheat. Are we ready to confess, to ask the Lord for forgiveness, to repent, to reconcile, and connect back with Him, and receive the blessings that the Lord has for each one of us? My friends, it is a choice, isn't it? Peter or Judas? Last week we looked at the two thieves on the cross beside Jesus. You know, one humbled himself and accepted eternal life, and the other denied who Jesus was. It is a choice that we can receive what God has in store for each one of us. May the Lord help us this morning that we can walk out of here, not Simon, but Peter, not Saul, but Paul. Amen. Gracious Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, to ask you for forgiveness, to cleanse us, to purify us this morning. Lord, we are just like Peter. Peter was not a saint to begin with. Lord, he had his faults. He struggled through life. But Lord, he came, he humbled himself, he came to repentance. And he received your promise. And so, Lord, we come this morning asking you to forgive us. Lord, we humbly ask you to forgive us. Cleanse us, purify us, make us right, O Lord, that we will call you our Father, that we will connect with you and live a life that is pleasing and fruitful, Christ-like, that others will know you are God, and that we worship a risen Lord and Savior. So bless us, Father. Bless us right now. Wash us, cleanse us, transform us through your Holy Spirit, that we will live a life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.